I'm going to find myself. I'm going to find who I am. Leave only footprints. I'm going to find who I am.
That was a clip from our next guest, Danny Paradiso. In the clip, Danny is wandering aimlessly against a green screen backdrop of famous sights around the world, wearing stockings on her head so they look like long beige coloured hair and a backpack. You can watch the video online. It's called Free Your Mind on YouTube by Danny Paradiso. Well, hi, Danny. Welcome to Carve.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You create hyper-real realities in your work that just deconstruct the capitalist, consumeristic structures that oppress marginalized communities. And I wanted to know, who are these communities?
So I feel like specifically for me, I like to talk a lot about sexuality and gender within my work. So I identify as queer. I suppose it comes across because they're my lived experiences. I feel like I naturally kind of have that sort of a lens when I'm making my work. So sometimes it's purposeful, but sometimes I feel like it just kind of comes out, and then later when I'm unpacking it, I'm like, okay, that's probably referring to a bit of this, you know?
That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there an artwork that explores queerness of yours?
So I feel like specifically about queerness of itself, but there's just elements of that come through my work. I think the work that probably explores it the most would be Pink Money. It goes along with like these sculptures and this installation piece and this film piece, that it's very campy in aesthetic. And like later when I was kind of looking through the footage and looking at it, I kind of was like, oh, that's definitely like that is coming, like that part of my identity that I feel like is kind of intrinsically coming out through the work.
Is this the video where you're getting, like, you're drinking wine and you've got pink lipstick all over your mouth?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. And there's literally pink money. And pink money is literally a term for queer capitalism, queer consumer culture. So, which I didn't even realise till post. Yeah, it's very much like about, you know, like ANZ being like, gay ANZ, you know, and that kind of, queer consumer culture.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know about that either.
Yeah.
Cool. And where did you learn about that? Like, is that through like an online community that you...
Time goes so strangely at the moment. When I was doing my honours work, I was doing it about pink and cute aesthetics in academia and in art. And so when I was making my work, I naturally, like, I just came across the term pink money. And this was after I made all of these paper pink bills, which, oh my God, took hours, and I just didn't even clock it was going to take it, because I printed them one-sided, so I was just cutting out and gluing these like $100 pink fake bills. I realized, I was reading about it all online, and I was like, oh, it's a literal term, pink money. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool, because you do explore the internet a lot in your work. I was wondering what interests you about the internet, and what is that cute aesthetic that you're referring to?
Yeah, so in terms of the internet, I feel like because we grew up, well, I, I, feel like I grew up so heavily on the internet, you know, when it was first really booming and becoming like this thing, and you had the dial-up sound, and it's very nostalgic for a lot of people, and MSN was like the way you would communicate, and like it just has slowly, well, not slowly at all, actually, scrap that, like very quickly became this other like amalgamation of information, and there's a lot of pockets of toxicity, and the way algorithms are formed, and it's just evolved into this other beast. And I think what interests me about the internet is the way it brings people together, but at the same time creates these pockets or these separate, what's the word for it? It kind of at first was this way of all of us coming together and sharing our information, to now where it's just like become this vessel for separating us all even further. It's very interesting. And all the aesthetics that have popped up from the internet as well. Like, it's very cool, very crazy.
Yeah, I always think, like, I had a filter on TikTok the other day, and it was such an amazing filter. It looked like I had a full face of makeup on, and I was just, like, sitting at home, like, not looking my best. And then I put this filter on, and I was like, wow, I could just post this photo, and people would think that I'm wearing makeup and I look amazing, and like my, you know, my cheeks are skinnier than they should be, and my eyes are bigger. And all of a sudden I'm like, I'm really actually putting out sort of a false persona of myself, because I sitting here, I don't look like this.
There's this like crazy app I found recently called Beauty Cam. I re-came across it because I had it ages ago, got rid of it, and then I re-downloaded it recently. And there's this thing called AI portraiture or something, and it like captures your face and it just completely transforms it. Like, it makes your jawline slimmer. It's like the filters on Instagram, and it's just like, oh, and what you can do actually. So my friend was she showed me, she was doing it. You put the photo through the AI imaging, get the photo, save it, and then you keep doing it to the same photo till eventually you get these like alien-like images.
Wow.
And which is so foreign from you, but it's just like, I'm like, God, that could be like art in of itself, because it's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you're wearing like the cutest pink headphones right now with these little cat ears. Is that part of your cute aesthetic? And is that the kind of vibe that you explore in your work?
Sure, definitely. So I think for a really long time, and I mean, even now, cute aesthetics have gotten a real, like, just a, like, especially in our adult women, like, a kind of a bad rap. Just in the way of, like, I've always really adored pink and cutesy stuff, but it's something that I never felt like I could really explore about myself. When I was younger, it was because being pink and cute, that was like, you know, it wasn't very cool, like I was shamed for it. Yeah. Like,
girl.
And then, yeah, exactly. Like, the main thing was being a tomboy and being like, oh, I'm one of the boys.
Yeah, like, I want to be Sporty Spice, not Baby Spice.
Yeah, Baby Spice sucks. I hate her. Which, like, you know, and, yeah, I hate the colour pink. I've never loved it. I don't love it now, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, like, I found a lot of, like, that dialogue changed, but instead it was, like, a lot from women in terms of, like, the idea of liking pink and liking things that are cute meant that I was infantilizing myself, or that I, again, wasn't being true to my, like, womanhood, like, quotation marks. Like, very... Is that like third wave kind of feminism?
I think so. Yeah. Contemporary.
Very much not about, you know, your choice to present. And so it kind of got to a point for me where I was just like, I just don't understand how just a colour and a look became so political. And like, I'm like, no other colour has gotten this much flack, I swear. Like, so when I was writing up my paper, it kind of became this real rebellion thing for me, where I was just like, there's got to be a reason as to why one of the most used, loved, and hated colors. What's the reason?
Yeah,
why do we love it? Why do we hate it?
Controversy.
Yeah, where's it coming from? What does it stem from?
Yeah, patriarchy.
And it was the same for the cute stuff. Like, and for me, it was about taking power in that and being like, no, I do like it and I'm allowed to like it, and here's all the great things about it, and here's why it's cool. Here's why it's not just cutesy, like, it's also badass. It's also power. It's me, like, you know, taking ownership of my body.
I have one more question for you, and it's about your newest song work that we unfortunately, yeah, we can't play it on the radio because it is a little naughty, but without giving away too much, what is the song about and what are you looking at exploring?
Okay, so it's a bit of a cheeky song, you're right. Essentially, during lockdown, I got really invested in, monster stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
And I kind of, got to this point where I was, because I'm very open and very, what can I say on
sexually,
it?
Can I say? Yeah, you can say, well, it's about hentai for people listening. If you don't know what that is, you can Google it if you're old enough. But you got interested in monsters, and there's an octopus.
Yes. So in the way that tentacle hentai came to be was because back in ye olde day, Japanese manga artists couldn't portray genitals in their media. So what they ended up doing was using very phallic looking
animals,
things,
yeah.
Instead. So that's how and it's always very much interested me. And essentially, I've always been very, very open with friends and stuff about the different things that I enjoy and I like. And it's really funny because whenever you bring up monster hentai, people are like, oh no, I've never. But so often people actually have, or so often they'll be like, oh my god, actually same, me too, and it's a coy, and it's if so many of us have, why is it this big deal? It's just this nothing thing. It's just another psych, crazy thing that we all occasionally
enjoy.
And I just wanted to kind of make something that was playful with that, especially now, because I feel with internet culture, there's been a lot of normalization of kinks and rougher sex. And so I guess it's topical. It's something that I feel is very relevant right now, especially with with TikTok, there's been a rise in anime again, or at least people who are like, yeah, I watch anime, screw you. And so it's kind of like, yeah, I watch monster hentai, screw you. So I guess this is a call to arms to all my fellow monster hentai lovers. Let's all join in, have a little bit of a giggle, and bloody enjoy it. I feel no shame.
Oh, Danny, thank you so much for joining Carve today.